If you guys want to join me in a word of prayer before we get going today, that would be great. Father, thanks for today. Thanks for just being able to see all the faces here that want to hear your word today. Father, tune our ears to your voice and turn our hearts to you so that we can hear something new today, maybe in a way that we have never heard before. Amen. So, you guys should be worried. I have my Bible with me and about four pieces of paper of notes. So, good luck. I thought maybe I should give you guys like a little background on who I am. My name is Justin Levette, in case you didn't know that. And I'm the youth pastor here. And my daughter's just about to run to the nursery. She's looking super cute this morning. And I'm married to Rachel. We've been married for 8 years now, and she is on a girls' retreat up in the mountains, so I had to get Emmeline ready this morning and get here, and it was a fun experience. I did her hair today, so that was awesome. And then we have a crazy dog named Tucker. He drives me nuts, honestly, but I love him so much, he just drives me crazy. And that makes me a little bit crazy, but I think I was crazy before we even had Tucker. Karen's nodding her head, yes. I'm crazy because I'm a bivocational minister, or not minister, I'm not old enough to be a minister, but pastor. And that means that I'm the youth pastor here at Applewood, and then I also own a commercial photography business, and I also have to schedule people to watch Emmeline when I go on photo shoots, and that just reminded me I have to schedule people for this week. So, sweet. God just put that in my brain. So I have two vocations, and they're awesome. They're crazy. Super time draining, or like energy draining, but I love them so much that I just can't not do one of them. So which one came first? It was photography all the way. I fell in love with photography in high school, and I just wanted to create every day after that. I went to college for photography. I came out of college with a job at a photo studio, and I've been shooting photos almost every day since. So if you think about that, it's a long time. It's a lot of pictures too, yeah. So I fell in love with photography, but youth ministry, it's not something that came out of the blue. I've been leading youth in some way or another for more than two-thirds of my life. So I've been a junior leader. I've been, you know, a leader of in high school of junior hires, and I've just been leading youth in some way or another for a long time. Because God has rocked my world, so I figured that he should rock theirs as well. But doing this double vocation thing, I've learned a lot of things about myself, things that I'm good at, and other things that I'm not so good at, and that's pretty fun to think about, just every way that God has stretched me. I've even learned, like, some of the things that I've glazed over, some of the things that, like, I've become familiar with, and I just didn't know them until God brought it out at the right time. So, I've learned that God created me to use the gifts that he has given me in order to honor him. And, you know, one of those gifts is being creative. I can't draw, so, you know, and I can't really paint, so that left photography. Although I really did like taking a jewelry class in high school. If you guys are in high school and jewelry is available, take that class. It's super fun. Especially guys, you get to play with torches. So go for it. Don't burn yourself. So before I fell in love with photography, I wanted to be an engineer like my grandfather. He was a design engineer. He made farm equipment, and it's pretty cool because some of the farm equipment and construction, big heavy machinery, you can see his hand in even today. You can drive down the highway and be like, I have that prototype as a toy in my garage. That's really cool. But God shut that door on me really abruptly and really quickly. You can talk to my mom about that. She's in the back. She probably didn't want me to tell you that, but she's back there. She'll tell you the day that that actually happened. But God shut that door on me really hard and then opened a door to show me that I'm a creative person. I had no idea why I was a creative person at that time, but I just really loved to create and really loved to be a photographer and take photos because it's fun. I find that I do my best work when I'm having fun. So if I'm having fun, it's a good thing. So through that, I was able to embrace being a photographer, going to college, and becoming a creative all of the time. Now I'm able to look back and see that that was a good thing. At that point, I was like, what's happening? Like, why did this switch all of a sudden? But God had been putting things into play that whole time, and I didn't see it at the time. I'm sure we're all able to look back on our lives, you know, like, even just a few years ago, and be like, oh, God was in that moment, and I didn't see him working at that time. So through that, like, I'm someone that has to do things by doing, or learn things by doing, and by doing that, I was able to see that God was working, and that teaches me to open my eyes and notice that God is working a lot more of the time than I think he is. So what do you think about when you hear that somebody is creative? Shout out an answer. An artist. What else? Oh, a dancer. That's a good one. What? Well, you would think that not being a morning person, but being a photographer, you have to chase the sun, and the sun is up really early during the summer. So if you're not a morning person, you better start. So now we've nailed down that it's like artist, not a morning person, a dancer. They're all artsy things. What do you think about when I tell you everybody is creative? I was like that, you know, just a few years ago. I was like, oh, if you're a creative, you're artsy. But it's one of those things where I looked back and God opened my eyes and he softened my heart to being able to feel like, oh, being a creative, sure, there is those people who are vocationally creative, but everybody is creative. We'll get to that in a minute. But now I want you guys to do something that might be uncomfortable, and lean to the person next to you and tell them that they are our creative. If you're looking across the aisle, shout it. All right, now do it to the person on the other side of you. I heard Avery in the back. She's doing it. Way to go. So we are all creative. And it's awesome because of where our creativity comes from. So you might not think you're creative, but have you seen that meme where it's like some dude at a table and it says, convince me otherwise? Yeah, do that to me today. Convince me otherwise that you are not creative. So as a show of hands, who's ever been to a camp, a retreat, or a conference? Pretty much everybody. Yeah, that's a good thing. I've been to tons of them. Ashlyn one time asked me, how many camp shirts do you have? I've been doing youth ministry here for a long time. I have a lot of t-shirts, and I have some hoodies stashed away. I've been to a lot of retreats. I've been to Chick numerous times. I've been to youth pastors' conferences, and I feel like I'm pretty versed in what conferences are like. There's something in the youth ministry world where we talk about how do we extend the camp high that you come off of after you've been to camp or after you've been to a conference. And it's something that we're always striving to do because everybody comes back and they're just on a high. And I've been there so many times, even as an adult, even coming back from a youth retreat, like
God speaks not just to the youth, he speaks to everybody, and he does things in amazing ways. I can still think of one powder burn. I think Kelsey was at it. And it was a long time ago, so that's why I think Kelsey was at it. She's a little bit older. It's all good. She was probably a freshman at the time. But we just had this moment where the leaders were standing up, and we just couldn't feel close enough to God. And it was amazing because it was just my buddy Brent. Sorry, I'm going back. And my buddy Elisa, and we just couldn't be close enough to God. It was awesome. But there was one conference in particular, and I've gone to it solo twice. And this one conference, I came back, and I was just buzzing. You can ask Rachel about it next week when she comes. But I was just like on such a high, and it carried me for like 2 years. And I've never had a conference carry me for that long. And it was just so amazing. It was a conference not like any other that I've ever been to. And this is the first time that I learned that I was an image bearer of God. Sure, I've read it before, but I was never open enough to being able to hear that I was an image bearer of God. It was one of those conferences where you feel like you're the only person in the room and the speaker is speaking only to you. Imagine that for like 3 days. It was crazy. It was like the first time I went to this conference, it was just nuts. And I ended up meeting a really good friend there, for the first time. We've become really good friends since. He lives in California, so we don't get to see each other ever. But we talk all the time, and that one conference just like cemented our relationship for a long time. I mean, it's super cool. We text each other, we talk to each other every now and then. But he's a dad of four boys and just finally bought a house in their town in California, and that's super exciting for them. But have you ever thought of being an image bearer of our Lord? I was not there. I see some shakes of your heads. So let's go to our scripture today. There's some Bibles that are scattered around. You can open up a Bible, open up your app on your phone, and we'll scroll to our verses today. If you're opening a Bible, and we're in Genesis chapter 1. You don't need to go to the table of contents. It's on page 1. Unless you're in my study Bible, and then you're on page like 30. Okay, so to kind of set the stage, God is going through and he's creating the world, and then he gets to us. So if you go down to verse 24 and follow along. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all of the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So that's our origin story. If you watch the Marvel movies, they are amazing at making origin stories. But this is ours, and this is ours that's even more amazing than theirs. So this idea of being an image bearer of the living God became a new idea to me at this conference. Sure, I've read Genesis 1 so many times. A lot of the times just to get through Genesis 1 so I can get on to something else. Or if I'm trying to plan a talk for youth group, like maybe those verses don't line up to what my concept is, and I just glaze over them. Or we just read even more than that. But the thing is like I've read through these verses so many times, but I've never let them be able to sink into my soul and for me to even recognize what's happening. You know, more so than just it's the creation story. Which is one of the most amazing things about the Bible. You can read over stories over and over and over again, and God won't reveal it to you at that time until it's the perfect time for you to hear those words at that moment. And that's what happened to me. I've been buzzing on this whole thing for a long time now. So being an image bearer of God, this didn't even stick with me in my heart and mind until I went to this conference and felt like I was the only person in the room being spoken to. This conference is the first place that has embraced that I am a creative person who is made in the image of God. So then where do you go in the Bible to see creativity? Pretty much everywhere. You can't read through the Bible without seeing creativity. God spoke to the people who wrote the Bible. He inspired them. He guided them. And through that, we get to see that he is the author of our lives. He is the author of those who came before us and those who are going to come after us. But yet, God is the one who is authoring our lives. He's speaking things into existence. He created us. He created this world out of nothing. And that term is ex nihilo. And that means out of nothing. But it wasn't out of nothing. He used his words. He spoke everything into existence. And being a creative person and looking at how things are made, it's amazing to see that he just spoke and then things happened. And that's one of the things about this world is that he spoke them into existence and then the world complied. The world just did it because that's what the world does. It obeys God, and we see that numerous times. We see that in the New Testament, there's a huge storm and Jesus is sleeping on a ship and his disciples are freaking out. And then Jesus just comes up and he says, peace, and everything stops. And that's just the world obeying what God has to say, obeying what Jesus has to say. So this conference I went to, the whole theme, even if it's the last time it was that it happened in 2019, was the theme was in the age of anxiety, which, I mean, that's a pretty big thing right now. There's a lot of anxiety happening. I think it kind of primed the pump for me to notice that. But even behind all of that, the reason that this conference was created was for creativity and theology and how those two things go together. And you cannot separate those two things without having creativity or theology, because creativity comes from God. And if you are studying God, which is what theology is, then you see creativity happening. So this conference that I went to, its name is Canvas. And it was created by a record label, which is kind of funny because the guys who started the record label, they're no longer in a band because they're all pastors at their own churches. So they just followed God's lead. They've done some interesting things along the way in order to get to where they are, but God has been leading them throughout that this entire time. So this whole thing of being creative and being a creative person, you might not be vocationally creative, but you are creative because you've been made by the Creator, by the one who created everything. I didn't know what I was going to do with that. But I'm sure we've all done this before. I'm sure we've looked at something and become so familiar with it that it just becomes normal. And we don't see how deep it actually goes. For instance, I told you guys we have a crazy dog named Tucker. He's a German short-haired pointer. If you know this breed, you know that they're a little neurotic. All of them have their own things. Tucker loves snowballs. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. That's his one neurotic thing, is he loves snowballs. He starts shaking anytime he sees snow. But these dogs are incredibly agile. They're wicked fast. And that has skewed how I look at dogs, basically. I'm just like, oh yeah, that's just his normal speed. No big deal. But anybody who sees Tucker run, even if it's in our backyard, they're like, he is incredibly fast. And then Emmeline will be running around the backyard. Tucker will be at a full sprint and see her and just like turn. I have no idea how he does it, but he never runs her over. He just like turns and goes around her. I'm like, how did you do that at that speed? But whatever. So I'm skewed to how dogs actually run because I'm so familiar with Tucker. I'm no longer impressed, but he is unique. So then does familiarity with God and reading our Bible, does that skew? Do we glaze over the things that he actually wants us to see? I'm sure, you know, there's people in this room that know a lot more facts about the Bible than I do. I'm not great about, you know, memorizing facts. That's one of those things I've learned over the years that I'm just not great at that. So sometimes I try, but I just don't usually come out on top on the memorizing. Maybe it's because my brain works in pictures. I don't know. So having all the facts, and also sometimes we need to just experience God. And I think that's one of those things about conferences. You get to experience God outside of the norm. For me, going to Canvas, I went and I didn't know anybody. So I had to do what I do well and just talk to anybody I know. And that's how I got to know Steve. Like, him and his buddies were sitting at a table and I needed some food, and there was a little taco stand right there, so I grabbed some food and sat at their table and we started talking and we became friends pretty quick. And then the next year we went to Canvas. We were both planning Canvas together to see if we could stay somewhere together or what was going to happen. It didn't quite work out, but we got to see each other and experience Canvas together again. So for me, you know, I'm not good at memorizing facts, and sometimes I'm not good at keeping my eyes open in order to see what God is doing. So for me, I had become so familiar with this creation story that I thought I knew it. I thought, oh yeah, God created the world. That's cool. So I didn't need to listen to it again. But God. Love that term, but God. God, he knew better. God knows better than all of us all of the time. And we just have to have soft enough hearts in order to notice God happening. That's one of my favorite talks that I've ever done in youth group, is about noticing God. And we usually just do like a little exercise that time, just to be able to slow down and notice that God is happening at that moment, even in the craziness of youth group. So one of the things that I love about Genesis 1 is that the language that is used, it almost lulls you to sleep. At the beginning, it's, you know, let there be, let the waters happen, let this happen, let you know, let there be. And it happens over and over and over again. I see Nora looking at it right now. That was pretty awesome. But, you know, God spoke everything into existence until he got to mankind. So in those first 25 verses, you just keep hearing a repetition of let there be. And that's in verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, and 24. It's a lot of times. And then we get to verse 26 when God says, let us make humans in our image to be like us, to be image bearers of us. So God goes from being very impersonal and just speaking things to happen and then the world complying and it happens. And then he gets to our story, our origin story, and everything changes. And he becomes very personable and wants us to be in community with him. And then we see that. And he makes us in the image of the Trinity, of God. God just didn't like speak it and say, you know what? We're going to make humans. Boom, pop, there they are. I mean, he could have easily done that. Could have made us just like that. But instead, he gets down on the earth and he forms us out of the dust and breathes life into our nostrils. Like, how much more personable or like upfront in your face can you get than that? It's like God gave us CPR. there's a doctor in the room. He understands. And he's so, hey, Sue, can you go throw a ball at that woodpecker? I just thought I heard a ticking in my head, and that was weird. Maybe God was knocking at my door or something. But he breathed life into us. So God made this scene for us. He made the world for us, and then he placed us into the world, not just to be part of the world, but to be of the world and to rule over the world, which is really interesting because he could have just made this terrarium. I'm thinking of Rachel has an ant colony in her kindergarten classroom. You know, Rachel placed the ants in there and then they made something and it was cool. And the kindergartners love it. I mean, what's not to love? Ants are cool as long as they stay in their house. That's what I... So God created us to be image bearers of him and being in community with him. It was a very creative way to make us, of just forming us out of the dust and then also breathing life into us. But if you think about it, like us being made to be over all, it even comes down to our posture. Look at your dog or your cat at home. If you have a goat, that's kind of weird. I have a friend who has a goat, and that's strange. You know, all of the animals, their posture is down on the ground. A lot of them are on all fours, and they see that the things that sustain them come from the ground. They come from in front of them. But God created us to be standing upright and to being able to look over his creation to see how we can make it a better place, how we can do better than the previous generation, and how our hope and joy doesn't come from under the sun. It comes from beyond it. So God created us different. He made us to reflect him into the world around us and invite others into that so that they can know the love and the power of God. And if you're freaked out, that's a good thing because that's where the basis of wisdom comes from. is a little bit of fear of God. So God created us, he created the world, and thought the thought and ingenuity of the words that he used in order to make us with his hands, make us with the hands of Jesus, and fill us with his spirit. Like, that can't be a normal thing. You know, like, that's just not normal. Like, I don't know of any other origin stories where the creator came down and made us out of his hands. There probably are, but I just don't know them. So God created everything. He created the world so that we can see his glory in everything. There are things that we haven't even discovered that he has created, and there's no way that we are not each individually creative. I can think of numerous of you. I'm not going to call you out, but there are people in this room who don't think they're creative, and I know very much otherwise. Whether you're using your ingenuity to create something or build a machine or come up with some kind of chemical compound, there are creative ways that you can use the gifts that God has given you. Even if it's, you know, putting numbers into a spreadsheet, that's way more creative than I can be, because I do not get spreadsheets. But don't let the world and what it says creativity is, of being artsy, lull you into not living into who God made you to be and whose image he made you to reflect. Or maybe you haven't figured out whose image you are reflecting yet. Maybe you need to do some time spending it with God, listening to God, doing listening prayers. Oh my gosh, that's the best thing ever. Like, God will reveal things to you that you've never even thought were possible in your own life if you just sit and be with God. So use whatever canvas God has given you, put it into your hands, and display it to the world around you on the canvas that you are. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and just as I pray, just think about the world that God has given you, and where you fit in as an image bearer. Father, thank you for today. Thanks for just speaking through me and allowing me to share what you have put on my heart so upfront, and allowing me to live into it. For those of us who are still kind of figuring out what kind of creativity we have, allow them to hear your voice in their ears, and soften their hearts so that they can know that you created us all to be creative, no matter what that creativity looks like. In your son's name, amen.